There's really two movements in today's gospel, and we may wonder how they sort of fit together. There's the first time when Jesus appears to the disciples who are hidden in the locked room, and then a second time when we have the talking about Thomas, who did not believe. And yet they actually fit together beautifully, and they come together beautifully too with this Sunday of Divine Mercy. So if we look at the first part, we see the disciples are all up in the room, in the upper room together. The doors are locked, and they are very much afraid. And we know from what the saints have written that the opposite of experiencing God's freedom is fear. That we should never act on fear because fear is always from the evil one. Jesus always inspires confidence and courage. And so Jesus appears to them, and he tells them what he always tells those who are afraid, peace be with you, even in the midst of persecution and suffering like the apostles are experiencing. And these aren't just empty words, because he goes from that point to giving them a reason for peace, to giving them a reason that they should have that freedom, and that's the sacrament of reconciliation. Because he tells the apostles to receive the Holy Spirit, which is the foundation of all the sacraments, which is gives the priest the ability to perform any of the powers that he has. And he says, who sins you forgive are forgiven, and who sins you retain are retained, which is the whole basis in the institution of the sacrament of reconciliation. So Jesus explicitly bestows this upon the apostles and their successors, so that through the ages his peace can be conferred, generation after generation. But of course we know it's not the priest who forgives sins. It's Christ acting through the priest, through his Holy Spirit. The priest on his own, because the sins are not against him, has no power to forgive sins. It is Christ who in the name of the church forgives those sins. And so, that brings us to the second part, that Thomas was not there. Now, I think we sometimes imagine that St. Thomas wasn't there just by accident, that our Lord showed up and said, shoot, I can never get all 12 of them together. But we know that that's not the case, really, that Jesus, if he wanted to see all 12, he would have seen all 12, and that there's a reason why he waited, and there's a reason why it's in the gospel. In fact, at the end here, it says that there were so many things that Christ did that all the books of the world could not contain them. So the things that we read in here are all here, every word of it, for a reason. So he did it in order to teach us through Thomas. Because we often think that Thomas failed, that he said, unless I see, I won't believe. And that's true, that is a kind of lack of faith. And yet what happened when Thomas did see Jesus? He saw Jesus, but he believed in God. He saw one thing, but he believed in another. That's why his profession of faith, my Lord and my God, is not a defeat, but a victory for him. It's the reason why it's a tradition, a pious tradition, that when the host is elevated, we say that prayer, my Lord and my God, as I always do quietly when I raise the host. Because what we're seeing is not what we're expressing belief in, just like Thomas. So if we look at the two sacraments that we're most familiar with, that we most frequently celebrate, we see the host, but we believe that it's Jesus. We hear the priest telling us, I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but we believe that Jesus is forgiving us. So like Thomas, we're believing in that which we're not seeing. And like him, we have that success. And that ties in perfectly with what today really is, which is Divine Mercy Sunday. Because as you can see in the Divine Mercy picture on the front of this ambo, which I painted last night, now I have to go to confession. But in this painting, we see the wounds of Christ, showing forth two beams of light, the white and the red, representing the blood and the water, which are the baptism that we are cleansed in, and the blood that saves us. And so these two things, blood and water, which flowed from his heart, flow onto all of us. And they shine down on us and allow us to be forgiven of our sins. And that same wound that allows that to happen is the same one that caused Thomas to believe in God. And then Christ says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that should give us great joy because that's all of us. Thomas was unwilling to believe in the testimony of the apostles, but how do we believe? The testimony of the apostles. And the testimony of 2,000 years of belief since then. The apostles who saw the risen Lord, and of course were willing to suffer and die throughout their lives, will die only once, but suffer throughout their lives, in order to spread that message, rather than say it was all made up, which would have been so easy. No, they saw the risen Christ, and we believe in that testimony. So today, on Divine Mercy Sunday, I encourage everyone to bask in that mercy of the blood and the water flowing from Jesus' side, from the wound that Thomas saw and caused him to believe. Because if we do that, we'll have found that peace that Christ was granting to the apostles when he went into the upper room. So a great way to do this is to take some time today and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It only takes about 5 minutes. It was given to St. Faustina, who also was the one who had the vision of Christ here. And if you don't know how to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, there's a wonderful spiritual resource called Google. And if you type in how to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, it'll pop right up. I tried. And so it's a wonderful thing to do because it is not only a prayer of forgiveness and of mercy, but of trust, which ultimately is the greatest sign of faith. Trust. Because at the end of the day, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And Jesus is talking about you and about me.